Amen. Thank you, Brother Nathaniel, for that good song. Take your Bibles this morning and go with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 57, in your Bibles today. The book of Psalm, chapter 57. I have to admit, I have been kind of happy that the heat has died down a little bit. Amen. And it's gotten a little bit cooler. And down in Texas, it's still hot from what I hear. And that kind of resembles, you know, hell and hellfire and all that, you know. And I tease the Texans on a regular basis here. And by the way, you saw OU won their game yesterday. Amen. I knew that'd put some spiritual emphasis in some of you. Amen. And far cry from last year, so we'll take as many wins as we can take. Amen. And praise the Lord for his goodness. Psalm chapter 57 in your Bibles this morning. We're going to read this entire psalm, and so I want you to follow along, please, as I read it. The whole psalm, Psalm chapter 57, and beginning with verse 1 in God's Word. Notice what the Bible says here. This psalm, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my living. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will open thy Holy Spirit, Lord, into this place in a great way. God, I pray that this morning that you'd give us hearts and minds to hear what, Lord, you want us to hear from your word this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you take the word of God and meet the mighty needs that, Lord, the word of God will produce in our lives. So bless, we pray. Most of all, that one, Lord, today who's not saved, who does not know you, I pray this morning, you'd open their heart to the gospel, that they'd be saved and that they would know, Lord, your truth. And Lord, I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the four refuges in the Bible. The four refuges in the Bible. There are times in the Bible, as we see in verse number one of this passage, that God provides a refuge. Notice again verse number one, if you would. David here is saying, and he writes these words, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. David here was in a place where Saul had been seeking his life. Saul the king was desperately jealous of David's success. And he compared his own successes with David's and saw that David's were greater. And that brought him jealousy. In fact, it brought him jealousy to the point where he was angry and deeply motivated to go after David and take his life. By the way, that's a bad place to be in life. It's a bad place to be in life when you get so upset about something that you have to take it into your own hands. But David found in this passage of Scripture that he had a refuge from all those calamities and from all those troubles that he could go to. And he compared them to the shadow of God's wings. He compared them to that. He said, I need a refuge. Now, can I tell you this morning that there are times in every one of our lives that we need this thing, as the Bible calls it, a refuge, a place to go, a place where the shadow of God's wings is hiding us, where the protection, if you will, of God is right there next to us. We all need that time. We all need this refuge. Perhaps you've received bad news, or perhaps a health problem. Maybe a doctor has come to you and said, it's cancer, and there's not much we can do. You know, can I remind you that that is the time when we need to know there is a refuge in God. Amen. There's a refuge. God provided a place for David of peace, of protection, a place where David could run to. And when he had that place, he knew everything was going to be fine. He knew everything was going to be right because he found and had a place of refuge in his life. Do you have that in your life? Do you have a place where you can go, where you and God can meet, where God can tell you, all right, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Hide under the shadow of my wings for a while. Maybe you get into a financial problem, and you don't know what to do about it. And you go back and forth, and you just try to figure it out in human reasoning, and you couldn't figure it out. Can I tell you what you need? More than you need a place to figure it out, you need a place where you can refuge, where you can hide under the wings of God and let God meet your needs. That's what you need. You need a refuge. I think it's very interesting in the Bible to study cities of refuge. If you look in the book of Numbers, you're going to find that God told Moses, and it was fulfilled in Joshua, to provide cities of refuge. Now, what were they for? They were for those who had, say, for instance, a man had been in a field and they're clearing stones, and they would take stones, and one of those stones was to accidentally go over and hit somebody else's head. The man fell over dead, but it was not a crime. But yet the truth is that nobody knew whether it was a crime or not. So this man could go to a city of refuge. He could find solace there. He could find peace there. And in that place, he would be judged according to Numbers. He would be judged according to the congregation that was there. And they would hear the case, and they would have that case heard. And if he was proven to be not guilty, then he would be able to be free and go back. God provided a city of refuge. It was also provided for lepers. A leper could go there, and we know that leprosy is a disease that can be spread and easily spread. So to prevent that, they provided a city of refuge where a leper could go. And by the way, leprosy is a picture of sin in the Bible. And it provided a place where this leper could go. And in this city of refuge, he could find solace and peace in his life to live. A city of refuge. And you know, it was the priests of God, the Levites, that were supposed to watch over these cities of refuge and to make sure that they were there. I say to you, what a wonderful thing God does for his people when he provides a refuge. You ever been in a problem you couldn't figure out? You ever had a burden about somebody in life that just couldn't change? Have you ever had something just assuage your soul and your mind to the point where you could not actually function or think and do well? I want to tell you what, God has provided something for you. He's provided you a place of refuge. It's a place where you can hide under the wings of God. And my question to you today is, do you have that place? Do you have that place? Maybe there's a place where you meet God every morning, maybe at that table, that couch, or maybe at that chair. Can I tell you the number one thing Christians need in their life is a place where you can go meet with God and rest under the shadow of his wings. David here is running for his life. He does not know whether to go left or right. He does not know. But Saul is avidly, furiously pursuing him. He cannot wait to taste death. He cannot wait to send that javelin through David out of his anger and his fear. And David knows exactly what Saul will do. Does he turn to the left? Does he turn to the right? Should he go into another foreign country? Should he go to another place? What should he do? And no doubt he reached a stage when he was probably bewildered and at a loss. Wondered, what am I going to do next? I'll tell you what he did. He knew there was a refuge in God. He knew there was a refuge in God. Oh, can I tell you what? The saddest part about being a lost person in this life is they have no refuge to go to. I mean, really, what does a lost person, how do they experience the comfort of God when death comes or when bad news comes? I don't know how they handle it. But can I tell you what? If you're here today and you're a child of God, you're saved, there is a refuge, a place in God where if you will run to that place, instead of allowing the anxiety and the fear of all the situation to arise in your soul, if you run to that place and hide under the shadow of his wings, you'll find the peace of God and the mercy of God. See, you can't do this on your own. You and I are weak on our own. We can't figure everything out. And as soon as we in our human reasoning try to figure everything out, suddenly it'll all go astray. But let me tell you something. God's got it figured out. God is the refuge. He is our refuge and strength. And when you're bewildered, when you're confused, you don't know where to go, there's a refuge. There's a place where you've got to run to and hide under the shadow of his wings and trust and rest in God. Oh, what a restorer of confidence God is. What a bringer of peace in the middle of a storm and a problem that it can bring. You say, I'm full of trouble. Well, you can either let that trouble assuage your soul or you can give it to God in a refuge. I want to tell you something. If you don't give it to God, you'll unravel. You'll unwind. And hear me, you'll enter into sin. If you don't give it to God. You'll enter into a place where you're doing it all on your own. And when man does that himself, he's going to enter into terrible places. and he's going to enter into sinful places. That's why you need to run to God. That's why you need a refuge. You need a place to go. Now, there's something interesting about the refuge in the Bible, and if you'll stay with me, there are four different meanings of the word refuge in Scripture. Same word, refuge, but they have different meanings or different applications. The first one here in Psalm chapter 57 is the Hebrew word kacha, kacha. I can't pronounce it in the Hebrew way. C-H-A-A-C-A-H. You pronounce it then, all right? That's the word, okay? I can't explain it. But here's what it means. It means a place to purposely flee for protection where you can confide in and have hope. A place where you can purposely flee for protection where you can confide in and have hope. I find a lot of hopeless people in the world.
That's right.
I find a lot of people whose dreams have been destroyed and whose burdens are great and the troubles assuage their soul and they don't know what to do. Can I tell you what? God's provided a place for you to run to. It's a refuge. It's a place where you go. It's a place where you hide. And those storms are going all around you, but there's no storm under there. It's a place where the heat is blasting everything around you, leaving it dry and barren. But when you're under the shadow of his wings, you do fine and you do flourish and you do well. I'm simply saying the first place of refuge here is a place where you can hide and go put yourself and you can be safe from the storm. You know, one of the things they teach international shipping captains is that they have to know where there are ports of refuge along the pathways that they travel so that when storms come up, these captains know exactly where they can go and they can time themselves to where they can avoid the storm and yet be in a sheltered place until that storm passes by. If they don't find that place, and if they do not know that place, it doesn't matter the size of the ship that they have. Whatever size of ship they have, there is a storm that can capsize that ship. And can I tell you, the oceans of this world are littered with wreckages of ships because a captain never sought a refuge in a storm. And can I tell you, so it is in our world today, that this world, the Christians, there are so many casualties and burdens in the Christian life when God doesn't want that for us. Amen. He wants us to be able to find that place where you can run into, where we can find hope, where we can find safe harbor. Hear me today. Do you have the place?
Amen.
Do you have that place? Oh, God was a refuge for David. Saul could enter that cave at any time. In fact, the Bible even tells us there was a time when Saul moved in and set up camp and slept right beside the cave where David was. And David went out to Saul, and in his confidence, he actually cut off the robe of Saul. And he went back to the cave and he showed Saul, I cut off your robe. He was saying, I could have taken your life. But you know what? That did not cause Saul to show mercy on David. He continued to pursue him. But David just kept on finding a place where he could be confident in the Lord.
Amen.
You see, I don't care how strong you are, life can teach you and wear you down to the place. You got to find a storm. You got to find comfort. And let me tell you something. There's a God that welcomes you to that refuge. Didn't he say Matthew 28, 19, 20? Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, what a promise of God. That's a refuge. It's a refuge. There's a second refuge I want you to know. And it's found just a few pages over in Psalm 62. So would you go over there with me to Psalm 62? And I want you to see verse number 7. Psalm chapter 62 and verse 7. Notice what the Bible says. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and what? My refuge is in God. Now, the word here is a little different from the word in Psalm 57. The word refuge is the Hebrew word makish or makiseh. I'm bad at Hebrew, I'll promise you that. It's makiseh. And here's what it means. It means a complete shelter. A complete shelter. It's this idea of four walls and a roof completely over you, not allowing 1 ounce of wind, storm, or rains to touch you. And so the psalmist here is saying, he only is my rock, he's my defense. He is the rock of my strength and my refuge in him. See, God can provide a refuge, a place where no matter what is going on in your life, there can be a place where nothing can harm you or touch you. Nothing. You say, but it blows my mind. It brings me to such a horrible place. Yeah, I know. That's because you haven't found the refuge yet. Amen. You got to find that refuge in your life. You'll lose your mind if you don't have a refuge. You'll lose everything unless you know where you can go to find peace, to find shelter, to find four walls and a heavenly roof over your head where God can shelter you from every storm. When I was in Africa, Brother Bingham and I were in Africa, and we went into a little church there in Zambia, I think it was. No, it was in Kenya. And we went into a little church there, and there was a pastor of a little church, been there for a long time. And the missionary and the pastor were teaching each other, or he was teaching the pastor, and the pastor was learning. And they had a metal roof over that church. And I'll never forget, the hail came so bad. The hail was so awful that, and it was hot when we got there. It was hot. You ever been under a hot metal roof in the middle of summer? Let me tell you, Africa's worse, hotter. And we got in there. That sun was beating down. But all of a sudden, this rainstorm came, and when it hit the roof, the rains were so, we couldn't even hear each other talk. We couldn't even hear each other speak in there. And I mean, it was a gully washer. It was washing water out. It was one bad rainstorm. And there we were in there thinking, are we ever going to get out of here? Are we going to have to float home? It was bad. And one thing I noticed is we opened the windows and the cool winds came into that warm place. And even though it was a place where there were storms all around, inside that place turned from a hot, humid place to a very peaceful, wonderful place with the cool breeze flowing through. And I want to remind you and tell you something. That's what he's talking about in this place. This is a place of refuge where the breeze can go through, and it's found in a refuge for the Lord. You need that, friend. You need that place. Oh, maybe things in your life today aren't that crazy. Maybe things are going well in your life. The children are well, and the house is paid for, and the car is actually running for a while. Maybe everything's fine in your life. Maybe everything's doing good in your life. But when it's doing good, we have a way of forgetting We have a way of forgetting this refuge. And God wants us to always remember that this is a place, this is a makaseh. It's a shelter. It's a place where you can go. And oh, how automatic it ought to become in a Christian's mind that whenever we hear bad news or whenever we fight Satan's temptations or whenever a battle, an affliction arises, we say, time to get in the shelter. Time to get in the shelter. We have a shelter back here, and it's for tornadoes. And if you live in Moore, Oklahoma, you want one of those. Amen. We got one back here, and we had a Wednesday night service. And before a Wednesday night service one night, the storms were coming, and we loaded in there whoever was here, except for Miss Marilyn. She was in church just sweeping away and cleaning the church. That night. You remember that, Miss Marilyn? She was sweeping away and cleaning the church. We said, Miss Marilyn, there's a tornado coming. Oh, okay, I was just cleaning the church, you know? So we got her down there. But, you know, isn't it nice to know there's a shelter you can go to when there's a tornado coming? You may not be able to prevent the tornadoes, but you can find the shelter. And that's what God is trying to teach us, is find the shelter. There are four walls and a place where God can protect you from all the troubles. It doesn't mean the troubles will not come. It means that you need to find in Him a refuge when those troubles come. Do you have it? Is it in your life? I want you to notice, thirdly, there's a third refuge. And that's found in 2 Samuel chapter 22. So would you go back with me a few pages to 2 Samuel chapter number 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And notice verse number 3 here. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." Now, the Hebrew word refuge is a little different from the other two. It is the word, the Hebrew word manauk, which means a high escape or a way to flee. It's a high escape. It's a place where you go that's not under the wing. It's a place where you go above all that's going on. It means that there is turmoil below, but when you are in the high tower, this refuge, you are safe from everything going on down here because you are up here. That's what the Hebrew word manauk means. And so it's like the mountain goats. You know, a mountain goat really doesn't have any defense. But the mountain goat lives at a very high altitude on cliffs that nobody could ever get him. The mountain lions cannot climb to that height. They cannot climb. Their claws cannot get them up steep places. But the mountain goats, as vulnerable as they are, yet if they go to the high place and if they go to the steep place, they can find a refuge and a protection. Oh, how many times a Christian, we live in the base things of this world and we live down here and we live down on this earth. You know what God's trying to teach us? He said, "I found a place where you need to climb a little higher and you'll find a little refuge in me." Don't just live on this earth with this earthly mentality. Get up above it sometimes. Get above it. Clear your head. God is a God that's so much higher than all this world. He is way far beyond. He is where the mountain goat finds refuge. And can I tell you what? That is a wonderful place to be, looking down on the situations when you're not there and you're above it. Amen. It's a great place to be. It's a wonderful place. Have you found God as your high tower? He will pull you up from defeat, and He will bring you up. He will encourage you. He'll lift your heart up. I'm not just preaching a positive gospel. I'm saying to you, in Christ, there is refuge in your life. There's refuge. Do you have the place? Do you have the place? There have been times when I didn't feel like I could go on. There are times in my life when I didn't know what tomorrow would bring. There are days in my life when I felt like, but God is trying to teach me whenever those times happen. I need to run to Him, climb up to a high tower where I can see this earth and what it really is. But when you get closer to God, you're going to understand that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Yep. Our treasures are laid up somewhere else. This is not the end. There's an end coming someday. And when you find that God is a refuge in a high tower, you'll be blessed and joyful and understand that you can live above the clouds and above the fray. You can live above all the mess of this world when you find a refuge in Him who is your high tower. Amen. What a blessing. But there's one last one that I want you to see. One last place. And that's found in Numbers chapter 35. So I want you to go back. Go back in your Bible left to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 35. It's called Numbers because in this book, the children of Israel were numbered as they were going and numbered in the land of Israel. So they could be divided out into the land of Israel where they were going and where God wanted them to be. And so the book of Numbers is there, but it's also a book where God gave Moses the law for the children of Israel. So we go to Numbers chapter 35 and look at verse number 24. Numbers 35, look at verse 24. It says, "Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer of the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. But verse 28, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession." Now let me explain to you what's going on. There were two types of death that he's talking about here. One was an actual murder where somebody purposely killed somebody. He's called the slayer, or it would be called guilty of blood back in the Old Testament. The second kind was the kind that I mentioned or alluded to earlier, where a man's in a field and he's got stones, he's clearing out rocks, and he accidentally hits a neighbor on the head with a rock or some type of accidental death, then this man could run to the city of refuge and he could hide there and find refuge there. Now, both would be judged in the city of refuge. both the one guilty of blood and the one of an accidental death. And the guilty one, the one who's found guilty, would be judged by the congregation, a group of Israelites there. And if they found him guilty, he was to face the law and he'd be put to death. That would be his punishment because he was found guilty of willful murder. But the other one, if he is found to be not guilty, yet he still did that crime, he could be found not guilty, but he was supposed to remain in the city of refuge. He was supposed to stay there until something happened, until the high priest dies. And when that high priest died, he then would be able to go free and go back to the place where he was. The city of refuge was a place where he could stay and remain safe. But when the high priest died, he would then could be freed to go back where he to his home or his homeland. And that's what the passage was explaining. But let me explain to you what happens. In this life, you and I are sinners. We're guilty before God. There's nobody good enough to be excluded from being called a sinner. We're all sinners. And in God's eyes, we are guilty. And God has provided in him a place of refuge where the sinner can go and where he can be placed. And when our high priest died for us, and do you know who our high priest is? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was our high priest, paid for our sins in his death on the cross. And when he died and paid for our sins on that cross, he made you and I to go free again. Amen. Thank God that there is a refuge for the sinner. And that refuge is when that high priest died and he passed away, we then were free to go back to the home that God had given them. And we too can be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, can I tell you something? Before you get saved, the Bible says you are enslaved to sin. You're enchained. You have no hope of your own selves. There is no place that you can run to. But I want to tell you something. God provided in him a refuge, a place where a lost man can go, a sinner, guilty before God, chained in his sin, can run to God. And through the death of the high priest, our Lord Jesus, he provided a freedom where you and I could be free completely. What a refuge. What a place. Oh, I want to tell you something. There's somebody that died for your sins that he can provide for you freedom. There's somebody that died for your sin. Though you and I are guilty, though you and I can stand before God and know we're guilty, yet God in his goodness and his greatness died on that old rugged cross paying for our sins in his blood on the cross. And he was saying that if you'll receive me, if you'll come to me, I will give you the freedom and I will be your refuge if you'll come to me. Good. How about it, my friend? You know, the worst place to be in life is a lost man that does not know the high priest has already paid for your sin. It's already been washed in the blood of Jesus. And the truth is, if you die and spend eternity away from God in a Christless hell forever, you will have paid for sins twice. Jesus paid for it once on the cross, but because we failed to receive him, you pay for your sins in an eternal hell forever. You say, preacher, do you believe that there's really a literal fire burning hell? The Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven.
Right.
Read the Bible. You say, I don't believe it. That won't make it disappear.
Amen. That's right.
You say, I don't like it. Neither do I. But it won't change it. There's only one thing we need. We need to run to Christ, who is our refuge. And when he died for our sins, he'll set you free from your sin. Oh, what a refuge. There's a refuge for the Christian. There's a refuge for the lost man. And all you have to do is come and trust him. Open your heart. Trust him. He already died for you. Ask him to save you and wash your sins away. And God will do that. He'll keep his promise to you. Have you ever found the refuge of salvation? Have you ever put your faith and your trust in him? If not, why don't you do it this morning? If not this morning in the invitation, why don't you come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to know Christ as my Savior. We'll have somebody pray with you and show you how you can invite Christ into your heart and your life. Would you do that this morning? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.